sports freaks. It's time to get your game on with the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air, unmatched quality, service, and price. And Eggs Up Grill, serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week. Now, here's your Sports Freak Hour host, Mike Morgan.
Hey, everybody, and happy Monday. Hope you had a very happy New Year. And how about those Carolina Panthers? They are your NFC South Division champs. Didn't have to even win a game this weekend, and they get into the playoffs. That scenario that we talked about last week did play out, where the Panthers, of course, lost last week at home to Seattle. Then they went and played Saturday down in Tampa. They got beat 16-14 in a driving rainstorm. So they were 8-9, tied with Tampa, and it all came down to the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints game. It's pretty simple. Saints win, the Buccaneers win the South. If the Falcons win, the Panthers win the South. Well, lo and behold, the Falcons were able to hold on to get a 19-17 win over the Saints, propelling the Panthers into the playoffs as the NFC South champs. And so now the Panthers will host the Rams in round one. So the Rams were victorious over the Cardinals. That gave them the fifth seed. Panthers will be the fourth seed. Now, I'm recording this on Sunday night. So this will air on Monday while we got the board meeting going on tonight. And in just a few minutes, I got an interview coming up with Panthers long snapper J.J. Jansen. So when he and I talked, we weren't quite sure who they're going to be playing yet. But looking forward to hearing from J.J. and congratulating him on getting the Panthers into the playoffs. So he'll join me here in a few minutes. And coming up probably around 6:30 or so, we'll be joined by Brett Friedlander. Brett, of course, a longtime sports writer down in the Raleigh area. We're going to talk a little college football playoffs and a little college basketball with him. And then we're getting ready for some high school basketball tomorrow night. Ron Wagner and I will be at East Henderson as the Eagles host the Knights of North Henderson. So Ron's going to join me to preview that game and talk a little sports with him as well. So let's take a quick break. When we come back, J.J. Jansen, long snapper from the Panthers, will be on the Sports Freak Hour right here on WTZQ.
Get behind the weekly headlines of Hendersonville Lightning with editor and publisher Bill Moss during Lightning Thursdays at 8 a.m. right here on the Q. And now available via podcast at WTZQ.com under On Air.
Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local trained comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
Attention all units. Be on the lookout for Easy. Blonde, 5 feet tall, and possibly armed with a microphone and sarcastic wit.
Guilty as charged. Catch me if you can, because I'm on the run. Join me on the lam, and I can promise an afternoon of alarmingly good giveaways, suggestions for places to lay low and have a good time, and not to mention, I have the best getaway soundtrack.
Last seen free in the studio at WTZQ 95.3 FM and AM 1600 every weekday at 3 p.m. sharp.
They'll never catch me. Ready to be part of the best radio chase in town? Hop in the car and turn that dial up. We'll manage to stay one step ahead, one way or another.
On the Run with Izzy Hughes, every weekday at 3 on WTZQ 95.3 FM and AM 1600.
You know what? I just might let this one go.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number, you're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small-town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap to pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
Welcome back to the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ. Mike Morgan with you. And let's bring in for the first time on the brand new Sports Freak Hour show. We had him on in Asheville a couple times with us. He is the longtime long snapper for the Carolina Panthers. He goes all the way back to 2009, easily the longest tenured Panther. He is Mr. J.J. Jansen. How are you, man? And congratulations on making the playoffs.
So good. Thank you so much. what an interesting week we've had, but we're happy to have won the division, and we'll get a home playoff game and hopefully go from there. But What a weird week. The whole thing, just glad it ended well for us.
Yeah, and such a strange scenario. I mean, you know, if you could have beaten Tampa on Saturday, you'd gotten in. And, of course, on Sunday, you had to get some help from Atlanta. When I first saw that scenario, even last week, that they needed to beat the Rams and then beat the Saints if you guys lost to Tampa, I mean, all that just played out, and it was just it's almost like the most Panther way for the Panthers to get in the playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at least the most NFC South way.
Yeah, exactly.
There's been some wild rides here the last handful of years.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, certainly we would have loved to have finished it off in Tampa Bay, and certainly I don't have too many sympathies for Tampa, right? But I'm sure they didn't much enjoy beating us at home and feeling like they finished their season off well, and then watching someone else lose to cost them their chance to get in. It was a weird thing. Usually the NFL does this where these types of games happen at the same time. So even if you win or lose, the other games happening simultaneously, there isn't this like 24-hour wait window. But because of last week's game between the Falcons and Rams being on a Monday night and how they set that schedule, they kind of rolled the dice thinking, well, surely the Rams will win. And, you know, it's so funny because last week I'm sitting there watching the Rams and Falcons going, I just want the Rams to win. Like, let's just make this a win and end. And then, of course, after the game last night, I was like, I'm so glad the Falcons won. I guess I'll be a Falcons fan. You know, again, a wild ride of emotions. Certainly you want to win.
Right.
You know, every game, and then certainly a game for the NFC South. But we're certainly proud of winning the division. I think it's a tremendous accomplishment. It's been a long time here in Carolina. And then we do get the opportunity to host a home playoff game, which is a huge advantage. And you know, there's 14 teams in the tournament, and we're one of them. And so we're not going to apologize for being in there. And we've got a responsibility to go out there and play some good ball. Whoever, you know, as we're talking right now, we're still not sure who it's going to be. But, As we look forward, you know, you get a chance to win a game in the playoffs at home and do some damage in the playoffs. That'll be a big deal.
Oh, no doubt. And like I said, we are recording this on Sunday evening. JJ was nice enough to get with me, so when this airs on Monday, we still don't know if it's the Rams or if it's the 49ers. It's going to be one of those two teams will be coming to town. And so, again, I think that's what it is, right? Rams or 49ers, right? I think that's where
Rams and 49ers, yes.
And the Rams, of course, y'all just beat them in Charlotte not too long ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out after games end today. All right, so, but hey, listen, you've been there. You were part of that 2015 team, the last team that won a division title. 2017, last time the Panthers went to the playoffs. So you've been there before, so are you going to kind of step up in some of the team meetings coming up this week and just kind of say, hey, guys, listen, I've been a part of this before. Let's get out here and make this city proud.
Well, certainly you give words of encouragement where they're needed. The cool part that we've had is we've really played in three straight playoff games.
Right.
So there's not – I don't know that there's a huge, hey, guys, this is a playoff game. Let me show you how it's going to go, right? Like,
right.
Like we play, you know, even going back 2 weeks ago, we're playing the what has now become the number one seed in the NFC, the Seattle Seahawks, at home in a playoff game.
Yeah.
And it had a great energy at Bank of America Stadium.
Yes.
Like, that was a real playoff environment with the nerves and excitement and energy that comes with a playoff game. So I think you just kind of remind guys, hey, we've been in these games before. We've been doing them now for about 3 or 4 weeks. And so nothing has to change. There are no more outs. But honestly, even just playing the game last night, I didn't necessarily get this feeling of anyone sort of thought that Atlanta would win and help us in, right? Like, it felt like a win and end game. Obviously, we didn't win. We're glad we had the backstop. But, you know, all you're trying to do is really manage the pregame emotions.
Yeah.
And once you get to the game, it's still a football game.
Right.
Whether they say playoffs or preseason, right? Like, once you're in the game, you really feel like you're rolling. So you're just trying to manage the hype and the lead up to it. That's all.
Yeah. And, you know, you think about it too. You've been there again since 2009. So you played for a couple different coaches. And Dave Canales, to get it done in year two, to get in the playoffs, I tell you, that's impressive. And nothing else is something good to build on for future years too, because again, you're in the playoffs in year two for your new coach.
Yeah, you know, I think that gives a lot of confidence to the organization.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think there's a good understanding of kind of where we are in this building process. We finished the year with 8 wins, 3 better than last year. We've had some highs, we've had some lows, we've had some big wins, which is really, really important. But at the same time, like, this is a stepping stone towards bigger and better things. We'd love to push that as long as we can this year. Look, yeah, like I said, there's one of 14 teams. There's nothing that says we can't get hot for 5 weeks in January and February and go the whole way, right? We're in. But at the same time, I think you understand where we are as an organization, where we are as a team. And the organization, the front office, Dan Morgan, Brant Tillis, Dave Knauss, they've recognized it and said that publicly. We are still building. We are far from a finished product. We are far from arrived. But in order to have a few positive accomplishments and things to celebrate along the way, I think that's really good just from a confidence standpoint. And I don't sense any overconfidence. I sense a humble heart throughout the entire organization, but we're certainly proud to have won the NFC South. It's a big thing. It's a big deal. And for these young guys, this will be that first taste of the playoffs for a lot of them that they will use as they move forward to future quests.
Yeah, J.J. Jansen, long snapper for the Carolina Panthers on the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ. Aye, man, I tell you, Saturday, that weather in Tampa was just horrible. It was hard for me to watch it, and I wasn't playing in it. And the role that you have as a long snapper, I mean, you know, how many times have you seen, you know, a bad snap or something slip? So what kind of different things do you do when you're playing in monsoon-type conditions like you saw on Saturday night down in Tampa, and how difficult is that? Kind of take us inside the long snapper's mindset of making sure all your snaps are good.
Well, we're certainly managing stuff, right?
Yes.
And you're trying to keep the ball dry on the field. You're trying to adjust your grip, pressure, and things of that sort. You know, and one of the biggest things that I did, you know, in the game on Saturday night, besides the fact that our ball guys were absolutely fantastic, especially with the K-balls, keeping the balls dry, getting the officials' hands. If you watch, you see it more live versus on television. You see how often the officials drop the ball.
Yeah.
So our ball guys were really, really good about running the ball out, getting the ball to the officials in a dry manner. I mean, that was a really, really big deal. And so I was certainly very appreciative of how hard they worked. And then ultimately, you're trying to keep the ball dry.
Yeah.
And you're just trying to manage the game. You're not going to have perfect snaps, but where can your punter, where can your holder, who's, you know, almost always the same guy, where can they manage and help you?
Right.
Right. So you're trying to keep the ball on the body where they can, you know, I always say we don't want any alligator arms in a rain game. Right? Alligator arms are, you know, it's a little bit different than the shorthands. I always think like claps, like your arms are really far away from you.
Yeah.
Because when your arms kind of lock out, you lose some of the adjustability. So trying to put the ball on the body, keep the ball chest or down on field goals and on the body where they can grab it and secure it. And then everything kind of slows down a little bit, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
The game slows down.
Oh, cool.
So you're trying to say, all right, I got a little bit more time here. I don't have to throw my 0.65, my rocket shot snap. It can be 6.8. It can be 7.1. Because they're kind of slipping, we're kind of slipping. Everyone's trying to keep their footing,
right?
And so there is a skill to it. I was very thankful that we went kind of through the game without incident.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to next week, and there's some rain in the forecast, so we may have to manage it again.
Right.
And again, trust me, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of answered prayer because you get a wet ball, you can't do a whole lot about it, and that's just the way it is. So our ball guys were great. Sam was fantastic all day, and I was just trying to manage the elements.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now, being up here in the mountains, you got a kid that played just down the road at AC Reynolds, you know, Rico Dowdle.
Yeah.
What a year he's had. And then Ben Johnson, you know, was also AC Reynolds kid, the head coach with the Bears. So really two of the biggest stories in the NFL I've been talking about all year long. And really come from here with what Ben has done, what Rico has done. But, man, what an addition Rico has been. And what has he been like as a teammate for you guys?
Well, Rico's been fantastic. Obviously, he had those couple of games right there in the middle of the season that really propelled us. You know, we were 1-3 going into that Dolphins game. Yeah. Ran for a couple hundred yards in again the next week versus Dallas. We weren't as productive. He had a touchdown in the big Packers win. And there were some games right there in the middle of the year that were really, really important. And he had such a big impact on it. And look, I think last year, Chuba Hubbard was kind of the revelation of the year. Mm-hmm. Rico was this year. We have two really good backs. We're in a good spot there. You know, we have Jonathan Brooks, who's still sitting there on the sideline waiting to come back next year. Right. So, you know, it's good to have a lot of good backs because you never know when there's injuries. You never know when there's the hot hand. But in a year where, you know, we didn't have Jonathan Brooks the whole year. Mm-hmm. We needed a second back. And Rico's kind of stepped up and in many ways been the one, right? It's kind of been a 1A, 1B sort of thing.
Right.
But, you know, 1,000 yards. He's caught a ton of balls out of the backfield. He's really played well. And we're really thankful. Look, he feels like he only has great games in Bank of America Stadium, whether he's running for South Carolina, Dallas, or you know, Carolina. So he definitely likes something about B of A.
He likes that stadium, no doubt. Well, listen, man, I'm so thrilled. I sat there the entire day on Sunday and watched that Falcons game. And I will say, when they scored that late touchdown, I was like, oh, come on, please, just recover the onside kick, please.
Yeah, now we're all watching onside kicks. And,
exactly.
And I was eyes glued to my TV on that one. That's kind of in my world. And certainly glad that that it went our way. How big is 10%? Like, you know, I was kind of sitting there going, that can't be real. But glad Atlanta came away with the win. And as my son came home from his friend's house, he's like, well, we played great today. I was like, it kind of felt that way, you know.
That's right.
And I will say this, I have to laugh, right? They basically, Atlanta scores 19 points off of a blocked punt by former Panther Jamie Robinson.
That's right.
Recovered by former Panther Felipe Franks, and then four field goals from former Panther Zane Gonzalez.
There
so
you
in
go.
Some ways, it did feel like we won.
That's right.
They were playing for us today.
There were some connections there, no doubt. Well, J.J. Danson, long snapper for the NFC South Division champion Carolina Panthers. That has a good ring to it, man. It really does.
It sure does.
Congratulations. Proud of you guys, and I'll be rooting for you this weekend no matter who you end up playing.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. J.J. Danson with the Carolina Panthers. Let's take a break. When we come back, Brett Freelander going to join me. We're going to talk a little college football and some college hoots with him. You're locked into the Sports Week Hour here on WTZ.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number. You're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small-town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap to pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local train comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
Hey, business owners and decision makers. You're listening to WTZQ Radio, and so are your potential new customers. We're the community radio station being listened to not only in so many car and home radios and online, but in many local businesses as well. Advertising on WTZQ gets results, but don't just take our word for it.
Hi, this is Merritt from Wine Sage and Gourmet, your downtown wine shop located on historic Main Street. I've been advertising with WTZQ since I opened in 2017. I get more feedback from customers who have heard my ads than any other advertising I do. I totally get the most bang for my buck with WTZQ. It'll work for you.
Call us at 692-1600 or online at WTZQ.com and click advertising. It's here. The WTZQ online store is officially live. Grab your WTZQ t-shirts, hoodies, and hats designed just for fans like you. Whether you're cruising around town or chilling at home with the radio on, you can now wear your Q pride. Head to WTZQ.com and start shopping. WTZQ gear is here. Get it while it's hot.
Go to WTZQ.com for your merch. And for a limited time, use the code RADIO for 25% off already low prices.
From the WTZQ Weather Department, this is Paul Speranza with your Monday evening forecast after a very pleasant afternoon. We're looking for a few clouds overnight tonight, but mild temperatures by the morning, only getting down to the upper 30s to around 40 degrees. A normal low would be 27, so well above normal. And then as we look ahead to Tuesday, it looks like a partly cloudy day, and it will become breezy out of the southwest 10 to 15 and mild lower 60s.
Welcome back to the Sports Week Hour, everybody. Mike Morgan here with you tonight. Let's bring in on the Mountain Credit Union Hotline. I'm going to get his title right. The retired Brett Friedlander. I think I've been calling you semi-retired, but you are actually retired for a long time.
No, I'm semi-retired.
Okay,
I'm doing some work for Seth Davis's Hoops HQ site.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I also just signed up to do a weekly piece for my good friend Mark Sturgis and his Straight Up Sports website down in the South Carolina upstate. So
awesome.
I'm still staying busy, but not on my terms, not on the daily basis.
Right, right. Well, I'm just going to start telling you just the jack of all trades, Brett Friedlander, from now on. That'll hit it perfectly. All right, got a lot I want to talk to you about. Let's touch on first what happened on Sunday, and that was the Carolina Panthers. Basically, the beeping noise you heard was them backing into the playoffs because they're able to get in. They lost two straight, but Atlanta beating the Saints. Barely. I mean, they had to recover an onside kick to guarantee the victory. But Carolina in the playoffs for the first time since 2015. And also, what I think is also the first time, too, that the team with the losing record has made it twice. Second time Panthers have done it. But Carolina's in the playoffs. What do you think about that, Brett?
Well, I can't think of a more Panthers way for them to get into the playoffs. I mean, winning in Tampa on Saturday would have been, just totally off brand for them. So yeah, and it's really a shame too that the Falcons won in one sense, because if New Orleans had won, they would have beaten the Panthers three times this season, even though they only played twice, right?
That's right.
So, here's the thing, though, okay? They're not going anywhere in the playoffs. They're probably not going to win a game and anything. But the fact that they, even with the losing record, were in contention to the end and now get an extra game, I think is extremely significant because of where they have been and because of the progress that is now tangible under Dave Canales.
I agree. Build on this, hopefully.
They were not going to be a true contender this year. But the fact that they were actually in contention and for a division title, and hey, they won it regardless of how they did it, that is a huge step forward for a franchise that has really been, treading water here and under the water for quite some time now. So it's a great stepping stone, and now you got to build on it next year, regardless of what happens next week.
Doesn't matter how you get there, as long as you get in there, you never know. Even that team that had a losing record won a playoff game. So you never know
that
what might happen. But the Panthers in the
Dallas,
playoffs,
right? That
That's
year?
Right. I think so. Yeah, yep. I think so. Yep. Yeah, my former favorite team that I don't pull for anymore. So yeah, there you go. And Dallas looked terrible against the Giants on Sunday, too. All right, let's talk about some good football, and that's the Final Four in the college football playoffs. Fiesta Bowl is Thursday, Ole Miss and Miami. Friday, got the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. That's going to be Oregon and Indiana. You know, I kind of like the fact that we got a bunch of teams in here we're not used to having in there. I know Oregon made a little run one year, but it's kind of cool to see Indiana there, to see Ole Miss, Miami representing the ACC. I'm excited about this Final Four because I'm okay whoever we get in the championship game.
There are so many good stories, too, because you've got Indiana that has never had any success. I mean, never. And, they've got a coach who was at Elon, five, 6 years ago?
Right, yeah.
And then LSU. Excuse me. Ole Miss. You've got Ole Miss who's playing without a coach. I mean, this is like Michigan under Bill, what's his name? What the heck was his name? Steve Fisher.
Yeah.
Back
in
the year that they won the national championship in basketball. And then you've got Miami, which, they've been waiting for two decades to get the swagger back. And here they are. And like you said, Oregon's really never won anything either. And so here's the thing. For all the criticism that people have of NIL, and believe me, there is a lot to criticize, this is the upside of NIL. NIL makes it a much more level playing field so that a lot of the have-nots, if they use it correctly, can become a championship-caliber team. Whereas before, it was just the programs that were using NIL illegally, that were buying all the players and winning all the games. I mean, back 5 years ago, you could say at the beginning of the season, there were maybe a handful, maybe five or six teams. One of those was going to win the national championship. You just knew it because they had more better players than everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, it's not the way it is anymore. In this Final Four, I think, is proof of that. And I think that's good for college football. For all that's bad right now, I think that the NIL has leveled the playing field to the point where if you're Indiana, you really can play for a championship.
Yeah, no doubt. And let's talk about both games, starting with Thursday night's game, the Fiesta Bowl. Ole Miss, Miami, I tell you, I've said it from the very beginning, nothing would make me happier than for Ole Miss to win this whole thing, other than the fact that Lane Kiffin could get a $1 million payout if that happens, and how he worked that out, I have no idea. But it would be so cool to see the team he left to go to another school that has a better chance to win the title if they win at all. I think a lot of America is pulling for Ole Miss just because of what they've been through.
Well, let me just say, regardless of the financial aspects, winning the national championship without him would be an enormous middle finger to Lane Kiffin, because it's like, you know what? It was us, not you, dude. And good luck at LSU. Hopefully you got a good buyout, because in 4 years you're either going to be leaving or getting fired anyway. So there's that. But here's the thing. As an ACC guy,
yeah,
I'm sorry. It's a great story, and I would really be happy if it did happen. But I would prefer to see Miami win it, because you want to talk about the ACC needing it bad.
Oh,
you
want
to be able to stop the narrative,
mm-hmm.
win the championship, because there have been years in basketball where Duke or UNC, have won the national championship. The ACC has gotten bashed during the season. But if you win the championship, it's like Roy Williams used to say a lot, everything looks better when the ball goes in the basket.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everything looks a lot better when one of your teams wins the championship.
That's very true. And I really wish these two teams were not playing each other in the semifinal.
Yeah,
I
this would be a great final.
That'd be a wonderful final. And I'm with you. I am pro ACC. I don't think I've ever really pulled for Miami in anything, but I'm rooting for them in this one. And this is a different Miami. You think back to Miami we're used to growing up with that group, you know, the convicts against the Catholics, you know, that big ESPN thing, had all the different stuff. You know, it's a different type Miami, and I kind of like these guys. And Carson Beck's been there before. He knows how to win some of these games. He's kind of the X factor in this game, I think.
Yeah, and you know what else, too? I think the X factor in this game is in front of him.
Yeah.
Mario Cristobal, for all that he's not, he is not a good game manager. Trust me, he is, and I'm waiting for him to pull his usual antics at the wrong possible time here. But the thing about it is, though, he has shown that he knows how to build a program, and he builds it from the bottom up. And it's because he was an offensive lineman when he was a player, and he has made that program a very physical, smash mouth team. I mean, it's not as wide open, and although last year with Cam Ward it was a lot more, but they win because they win the line of scrimmage. And the first two games beating who did they beat that first? Texas A&M and then Ohio State. They won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball and defensively stopped two really high octane teams, and I think that's going to be the key in this one. If they can continue to be physical up front and to give Chambliss trouble and make him take off running and keep him from finding receivers, I think that they're going to win this game.
Yeah, make them feel uncomfortable. All right, so then on Friday night, the Peach Bowl down in Atlanta.
My
Chick-fil-A.
Home.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Oregon against Indiana. And Oregon, they're offensively unbelievable. They can just score from everywhere. And Indiana, I tell you, in 2 years, watching Eddie has done there is just amazing. But, man, they get after it, too, and they are the best team. I mean, they're number one seed for a reason. But I like that matchup, too. Both these games are great, but, boy, this one has a chance to be a classic as well.
Yeah, and there's a different dynamic to this one because they've already played once this season.
That's true.
And Indiana won, and so here's the advantage that if you're the team that lost, you now can see what went wrong against this team,
right,
and you can start to make some adjustments, which means Indiana's not going to be able to come out and do the same things. I think they're going to have to adjust as well and do some things differently. I think Indiana's the better team. I think that they've got a guy playing quarterback who just has that clutch gene, and he's the Heisman Trophy winner for a reason. I voted for him, by the way. And what's really crazy is he played for Cal a couple years ago, or last year. And if by chance it ends up being Indiana against Miami for the national championship, just remember last year, Fernando Mendoza threw for about 500 yards against Cal, and they only lost that game because Cam Ward staged the incredible fourth quarter comeback.
Right.
So file that one away just in case. But I still like Indiana because I think they're the better team, but I think this is a really more difficult test for them because of the fact that they're so familiar with each other.
Brent Friedlander, the semi-retired sports guru on the Sports Week Hour here with Mike Morgan. I tell you, all right, let's talk about a little ACC. And one thing, I love following Brent on social media. He's always a great follow. And you said bingo has been called. You used that line several times. And my favorite one was somebody was making a point about, hey, maybe the ACC isn't quite as bad as what we thought it was because ACC's had a pretty good bowl run. And we've talked about that a lot over the last couple of years, Brett, on our show with Brian and myself, and then even you and I on my new show here, too. I mean, ACC's taken some whoopings here the last couple of years. But, man, I tell you what, this year, maybe it's not as bad as everybody thought it was, huh?
It's not. And here's, you know, listen, Indiana becomes out of nowhere and becomes a nationally elite team, and everybody talks about how great, how deep the Big Ten is.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt comes out of the dregs and becomes a playoff contender in the SEC, and everybody talks about how deep and how great the SEC is. But say a team like Virginia or Duke or Georgia Tech does that in the ACC, and the narrative is look how bad that team, you know, that league is, just because the brand names aren't at the top of the standings.
Right.
Well, this year you had that happen, but you also now have one of the brand names, Miami, is doing that. And so that and the fact that they're 8-4 right now in bowl games and have a team in the playoff semifinals, whereas look at the SEC. I think they've won maybe one or maybe two games in the postseason against power conference opponents that aren't also SEC teams. And so I think the statement is being made. Now, I don't know if it's enough to change the narrative, but it's enough to make people stand up and say, yeah, this league may not be as bad as we really, you know, it's not a group of five caliber league.
Right. Yeah. Big Ten's 9-4 in bowl games. But again, we got to remember they got two right now in the Final Four with Oregon and Indiana.
Yep.
You know, so that's skewed a little bit, but the ACC's sitting there 8-4, I tell you.
Well, they're going to get one win and one loss this week. So.
That's true. Yeah, guaranteed. So maybe Miami can get a W and move ahead percentage-wise. All right, hey, before we leave college football, huge news out of Raleigh. C.J. Bailey coming back for the Wolfpack. I mean, in this day and age, I still can't get used to just getting so excited that guys are coming back. I feel like it's the NBA or the NFL or something. But, hey, that's huge, though, to have C.J. back for the Pack.
It is. It makes sense, though, because, listen, if you're a kid and you've got a chance to really get a bag here, you're going to take it. But in some cases, it might end up costing you money if you take a lot more now, because it doesn't put you in a position to be able to maybe get to the next level and make the real big bucks.
Right.
I say this because if C.J. Bailey had decided to go to Georgia or to Miami or whoever it is that needs a quarterback or Clemson, and took a couple of million dollars to do it, maybe he doesn't really click with the offensive coordinator and the head coach. Maybe he really doesn't fit into that system, and maybe it doesn't go very well. I throw it out as an example, DJ Uiagalelei, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that's the end of his career, and there's no NFL, there's no, you know, you better have gone to school and got your degree kind of thing. But here's the advantage of staying. Number one, I think that he and Dave Doran have this kind of bond, you know, and it's the kind of bond that quarterbacks and coaches used to build when they stayed 3-4 years.
Yeah.
And I think that they're on the same page with each other. And Kurt Roper, I think, also has got a really good feel for what CJ does and how to best utilize his talents. And then there's the fact that he's got playmakers coming back. You know, even though Hollywood Smothers is leaving, Duke Scott is coming back.
Yeah.
Even though he's losing a couple of receivers, that's a very deep position. And I guarantee you they're going to go out and get more, off the transfer portal now that CJ has announced he's coming back. So it's a good situation. You know, they won 8 games again this year.
Yeah.
If you look at their schedule next year, especially their ACC schedule, it is incredibly manageable. Now, does the law of the wolf kick in, and when things look the best, things end up turning out badly? We'll see. But the elements are there for him to succeed. and leaving, I think, would have been more of a crapshoot. So kudos to the kids for realizing that, you know, there are other factors besides who's going to pay me more money. And, hey, listen, we don't know how much, you know, what kind of Brinks truck the Wolfpack backed up to his house. So,
yeah.
There you go.
It had a lot of dollars in it, I'm sure. So let's shift gears a little bit, talk a little ACC basketball. Because I'm going to tell you right now, looking all up and down that league, what SMU just did to Carolina out in Dallas on Saturday. Of course, Virginia came in to NC State, just put a whooping on the Wolfpack. I mean, Duke's been in a couple of dogfights with Georgia Tech and Florida State to start the year. I tell you, I'm pretty excited
Louisville
about
lost to California.
Exactly, yeah. After California, put up 46 points in a loss to Notre Dame. I mean, it's just crazy. But I tell you what, man, I think top to bottom, this league is going to be a fun league to watch all year long. It appears to me ACC Hoops is back, too, after having a little bit of some rough times here over the last couple of years.
And the reason is because the coaching. I think the biggest reason for the drop that it had was there was a coaching vacuum. You don't lose Roy Williams, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Boeheim, Bray, Tony Bennett, Jim Larranaga. You don't lose Hall of Fame coaches and replace them right away. And it's taken a while for these teams to recover. I mean, look, we've got Pat Kelsey now in Louisville. I think Jay Lucas down at Miami was a home run hire. Ryan Odom coming into Virginia is a guy with an ACC background who's got a history of success. So I think that's part of the reason. And again, NIL is a great equalizer. And now the ACC can afford better players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you see that. I mean, the ACC has the second most teams ranked in the net top 50 right now behind the Big 12. They've got, I believe, 9 out of the 17 teams, or it's going to be 18 in basketball, are in the top 50. And that's critical because when you get to conference play, now you have quad one opportunities. Whereas in the past couple of years, you didn't because the teams were ranked so low, and losses really hurt you, whereas wins really didn't help. Now it's the other way around, and I think you're going to see 6 to 8, maybe 9 ACC teams get in the tournament this year, and you see the parity right now. I mean, it's incredible. UNC goes to SMU and loses.
Yeah.
Virginia, right? They lose to Virginia Tech and then come back and beat NC State. Mm-hmm. NC State beats Wake and then loses to Virginia, right?
Yeah.
Wake Forest jumps back, right back in it after losing that game in Raleigh, and they beat Virginia Tech yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's one of those deals where literally anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. There won't be any teams going, of course, there's 18 games this year instead of 20. But last year, Duke went 18-2. Clemson and Louisville, I think, went 17-3. And you won't see that kind of winning percentage this year because I think a team with 4 losses may end up winning the ACC if it ends up being a multiple situation.
Yeah, Duke appears to be the best team, no doubt. I actually Duke, maybe losing 1 or 2 games and everybody else kind of fighting it out there. We'll have a bunch kind of right there in that 4, 5, 6 loss areas. Kind of how I feel it'll play out. I was hoping the Wolfpack would be in the top 4. I'm starting to, I don't know. I'm back and forth on State. I know Will Wade's brand new team, trying to build that. They talk the talk. They're not walking the walk. But
I'll tell you what I think about State. I think that they have the potential to be an NCAA tournament team.
I do, too.
Okay, but here's what they have to do. Will Wade made a real performative, show out of saying that he was very he was not concerned about Darion Williams.
Yeah.
But it's been 3 games now.
Yeah.
And whether it's a health issue, which he kind of hinted at, or something else, NC State needs that guy who was picked to be the preseason ACC player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They need him to play at that level.
I agree.
If he returns to that level, then they can beat anybody in the ACC,
even
Duke.
Yeah.
And so, that's the key. Because right now, they just don't have a go-to guy.
Yep.
And it showed yesterday, Saturday. Why do I keep saying yesterday? Anyway.
That's okay. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So that's the thing. It's still really, really early, and they've got enough games. And again, there are quad one opportunities throughout the ACC, and but they need Darion Williams to play the way he started the season and the way he played last year.
There's not going to be an easy game on the schedule this year, top to bottom. There's no doubt. It's going to be a fun year in basketball. Well, Brett, it's always good catching up with you. Okay, before I let you go, who's going to win the Fiesta Bowl? Who's going to win the Peach Bowl? Who do you think is going to play for the national championship?
I think it's going to be Indiana and Miami.
Okay. Yep. Indiana for sure. I think they're definitely going to beat Oregon. I want Miami, but I'm okay with Ole Miss too, because I think it'd be kind of cool to see Ole Miss in there. But I'm actually rooting for Miami, like you mentioned earlier. Go ACC at this point in time. So. All right, buddy. I was good catching up with anything big you're working on. You want to let people know about, or anything else you want to let people know where they can find your work that you're doing?
Sure. I'll have my first story on Straight Up Sports.
Cool.
On Wednesday or Thursday, and then on Saturday I will have my bi-weekly ACC notebook on hoopshq.com, and it will probably lead with what's wrong with Darion Williams.
There we go. Well, and again, Wade went on the tirade, but there's no doubt.
Yes,
1.8 points.
Fun.
Yeah, it was fun, but he should be scoring, like, say, 18 to 20 a game. All right, man, we'll see what happens as it plays out. I'll get you on down the road, and hope you had a wonderful holiday and a happy new year, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Anytime. Thanks a lot.
All right, let's take our final break of the night, and when we come back, Ron Wagner going to join me. We're going to preview tomorrow night's high school basketball matchup between East Henderson and North Henderson. You're listening to the Sports Freak Hour here on WTZQ.
And now, Thoughts to Ponder with Mark and Paige.
When cheese gets its picture taken, what does it say?
Why are a wise man and a wise guy opposites?
These have been Thoughts to Ponder with Mark and Paige.
Eggs Up Grill. Eggs Up Grill.
Eggs Up Grill. Classic breakfast, only $8 before 8 a.m.
Score!
Best burgers, salads, and wraps in town.
Score!
Lots of free parking.
Score!
Eggs Up Grill on Spartanburg Highway next to Planet Fitness. Open daily 6 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Horizon Heat and Air, your local trained comfort specialist, is a proud sponsor of high school sports coverage on WTZQ. With their professionally trained staff, affordable pricing, and fast service, Horizon Heat and Air is the local source to deliver comfort for your home or business.
This hour's Q-tip is brought to you by Epperson Tree.
Epperson Tree is proud to serve Hendersonville and surrounding communities. With Epperson Tree, you're not just hiring a company, you're hiring a skilled and passionate team with values that remain firmly grounded. Epperson Tree, your reliable and ethical partner in tree care.
Downtown Hendersonville is set to bring big fun in tiny form with the debut of its first ever T-Rex parade on Saturday, February 7th at 2 p.m. Unlike traditional Mardi Gras spectacles, the T-Rex parade invites the community to experience Mardi Gras magic on a miniature scale. Picture wagons transformed into vibrant floats rolling along the sidewalks of Main Street, offering spectators a close-up view of every creative detail. To secure a spot for your crew or to learn more about Hendersonville's first Mardi Gras celebration, visit HendersonvilleNC.gov/Mardi Gras.
At Mountain Credit Union, you're more than a number, you're a neighbor. We bring you the personal service of a small town credit union, plus offer the latest technology. Tap to pay debit cards, remote deposit, and loans to fit your needs from local people you know and trust. Mountain Credit Union, where community meets convenience. Visit mountaincu.org or stop by a local branch to learn more.
Hey, welcome back to the Sports Week Hour, everybody. Our final segment of the show, and let's talk a little high school hoops. We will be at East Henderson tomorrow night when the Eagles host the North Henderson Knights. A very good matchup, and let's bring in on the Mountain Credit Union hotline the guy who will be with me. He's been with me for every game so far in high school basketball. We're having a fun time calling games here on the Q, Mr. Ron Wagner. First of all, Ron, as a Wahoo fan, congratulations to Virginia putting a whooping on my Wolfpack on Saturday. That was an ugly game by the Pack. And a nice W for your Virginia Cavaliers.
Well, I appreciate you being the bigger man about that, Mike. And it allows us to recover a little bit from losing yet again to Virginia Tech and Blacksburg. So, yeah, we'll take it. That was a nice bounce back.
That's easy for you to say.
Because, you know, that triple overtime and losing to your biggest rival, you know, I really expected them to go in Raleigh and get whooped. And they played out of their mind. So, got to give Ryan Odom credit, the new coach. He must have really lit a fire under them, and they responded.
Listen, the ACC is going to be top to bottom. It's going to be tough. Brett and I were just talking about that during the last segment. All right, so we've got East Henderson hosting North. Two teams that are playing pretty good. Both boys' teams are 10-3 overall, 2-1 in the conference. Actually, East played on Friday night. They beat Smoky on Friday night, 86-59. North had their tournament that night's Christmas tournament. They lost in the championship game to Loveland, Ohio, who came in and played in that one. So, but both teams are playing really good. I'm looking forward to this matchup because we've not seen North since that very first game we did against Hendersonville, which they blew a big lead in that game to the Bearcats. But we've seen East a couple of times, and we've been impressed with what Mr. Brewer's doing. And I tell you, these are, you know, two best teams in the county, to be honest with you, at this point in time. And I'm looking forward to that game tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Smoky Mountain game, the East one, as you mentioned, kind of a weird Friday over Christmas break conference game. You don't see that very much. And but, you know, Smoky Mountain was 11-1 going into that game, and East Henderson absolutely dismantled them. So, you know, this kind of goes back to what we were talking about going into the season. I don't think either one of us were surprised to see. Would have been surprised if you told us that North Henderson was 10-3 at this point. I mean, the Knights returned everything from a pretty good team from last year. But, you know, East lost Caden Brewer, the best player in school history. I'd argue as good as any player in Henderson County history. So, you know, for them to come on this strong is a little bit of a surprise. But his brother Jalen is now up to averaging almost 17 points a game, getting some help from Caleb McKenzie, a senior forward, averaging 10.1. Another senior, Talik Baker, right at 10. Who was not on the roster last year. I don't believe Caleb McKenzie was either. So, you know, I'm not sure if Coach Jones out there hit the portal or what, but he brought some players in to help out Jalen. And this team isn't a fluke. I mean, they're definitely a contender.
Oh, there's no doubt. And again, what we saw them do to Wes Henderson there, the last game we broadcast back middle part of December. I mean, they just slapped it on them and just kept it slapping it the whole night. I mean, that was just unbelievable. The pressure, the way they get after it. And again, they've got a bunch of kids that are in that 6'1", 6'2", you know, Brewer's probably in that 6'2", 6'3 range. Pretty good size that can cause matchup problems. But I tell you, they've been fun to watch. And again, Brewer's getting a lot of the headlines. But those other guys around him, he's got some good pieces to help him out as well.
Yeah, there's more talent on that roster than Marquinhos Jones has ever had in his 5 years at East. You know, his first 4 years, Caden Brewer was as close to a one-man show as you could be. And, you know, I think his teammates would have admitted that. I mean, they stepped up and did a great job to compliment him. But he, you know, he led the team in scoring, rebounding, assists, steals. Literally every year he was on varsity for 4 years. I mean, he just did everything. And never has there been this kind of talent on the roster for Coach Jones, and you're seeing it. I mean, they're long, they're lean, as you said, they're tall. It's much more than Jalen Brewer, but it starts with Jalen Brewer, who is a very effective outside shooter. He can get to the basket. He's a good passer, but he's got some help. And this team has some pieces, and they're going to be, you know, they lost early to Franklin, but that was a tough game, and Franklin is, of course, first in the league. But I think he still has a real chance to pull this conference title out. And, you know, flipping to North, you know, we kind of got a bad taste from the Knights in that game, as you said. I mean, they had that big lead against Hendersonville and just really disintegrated, you know, just melted down over the whole second half. And it was a tough, tough loss. But, you know, clearly they've responded. Senior Titus Moore averages almost 17 points a game. You know, and they're coming on a little bit playing like everyone thought they would. You know, the loss to Loveland, I'm not sure what to make of that. I would really just like to know how in the heck Loveland, Ohio is playing at a Christmas tournament in Hendersonville anyway. You know, outside of that, that broke a three-game win streak for them. And, you know, and they've had a couple of days to lick their wounds, but, you know, I'm sure they'll be ready for this East game. But it's always tough to play at East. I mean, that gym can get super loud.
Oh, no doubt. And you look at this North team, too. You know, they lost – well, the one conference loss was to Pisgah. So they lost that early on. Both those teams lost their very first game. And then since then, North won, picked up a couple wins in the conference. And again, you know, 10-3, and they've got some size. They got some dudes that, you know, are in that 6'6", 6'7", 6'8" range. And, you know, so when you get that in high school too, that's sometimes hard to defend. And you got, and their big kid's a pretty skilled player too.
Yeah, Braden Hudson, the 6'7" junior, he can go inside, but he's one of these. He's almost like a point forward kind of guy or point center. I mean, he's an excellent passer. He can hit an outside shot. He sees the floor very well. He's averaging a little over 14 points a game. His senior guard Jamil Patel is up to 11.3 points a game. And you know, that was I think that was one of the questions for them, was gonna, you know, who's gonna take over in the backcourt, because they did lose a guard last year. But Patel's coming on, and you know, three double digit scores, and as you said, some size. Titus Moore, I think, is 6'4", 6'5". So you know, they've got some pieces as well. So you know, that'll be a really interesting measuring stick for both teams in that game. And you look at the conference, it's you know, we talked about how strong that Mountain 8 4A, 5A was in football. Well, it's kind of shaping up to be the same way in boys basketball. Yeah. I mean, you've got five teams that you know, Pisgah's 1-2 in the league and 8-4 overall, but they beat North. You know, Franklin's 9-2, 3-0, and the Panthers have kind of been overshadowed by East a little bit the last few years, but they've won 20 games, I think, three of the last 4 years. And so that program's been good every year. They've obviously already beaten East, and you have East and North both 10-3, and Smoky, of course, 11-2 after that big loss to East. But that's five teams that all have pretty impressive records at the top of that league.
Yeah, that is going to be fun to watch. And West, hopefully they'll kind of get it going, too. They struggled the other night against East. And the Bearcats. Bearcat boys are 9-4. They went 1-2 in a tournament down at Crest. But, you know, I think that conference, they're going to do pretty good in the Western Highlands. All right, let's talk a little girls basketball. We'll have the North and East game. 6:30 will be our air time. It's about time we go on. Either girls action will be happening or the UNC Health Party pregame show could be a short-lived one. But look at North. They've won three out of their last four. And we saw them, you know, the very first game of the year. And that is, hands down, bar none, the youngest team in the county. He's starting a lot of freshmen. And so, but Coach Paris has done a pretty good, or Coach Rhodes has done a pretty good job over there with the girls winning three out of four.
Yeah, Kevin Rhodes back at the helm. I believe we talked about he coached them in the past and hasn't coached for several years, and this program has been in tough shape for several years. But it goes back to, again, what coaching can do at the high school level. You know, we saw it in Marquinses Jones at East. We're seeing it every year, and he has almost immediately turned this program around. I mean, they've been young every year, it seems like, but the difference is this year they actually are playing really well. And as, you know, Hendersonville beat them, and the score seemed like a lopsided game, but, you know, they were even from the final three quarters after getting down big, and it wasn't a fluke. I mean, you could see they had some pieces. You know, and you look at this senior guard, Kyra Motley, she's up to 9.3 points a game. I'm sorry, sophomore guard. I didn't say senior. their top five scores are all sophomores. And, you know, they're not impressive numbers, but they have some kids who can handle the ball. They had some kids who could rebound. They could defend. I mean, they just seemed to have an idea what they were doing, which has kind of been missing, honestly, over the past several years. And, you know, this team has some potential, and I think that they're coming on. It's, again, like the East boys, not a fluke. I mean, they're the real deal, I think. I mean, you know, I don't know that they're ready to compete for a conference, but they're not going to be a pushover anymore.
Yeah, and, so East girls are 2-11, 0-3 in the conference. They've lost 10 in a row. And, you know, had some games back mid-December, you know, played RS Central pretty tough, played Kings Mountain pretty tough, lost both those games. But then the two conference games, they lost by 17 to West, and Smoky beating about 30 on Friday night. But again, a very young team, and you know, so we'll see what they can do against this North team that seems to be up and coming.
Yeah, East, you know, they have junior guard Mamie Hill, who actually was put on an absolute show against Wes Henderson, even though they lost that game. She was our player of the game, which was pretty surprising, because West has a pretty good player in his own right, including sophomore guard June Sconchers, averaging over 21 points a game. But Mamie Hill just put on it. She really just lit it up. Yeah. But the problem is she's kind of got a Caden Brewer situation on the girls' side, and she just does not have any help. I mean, no one else on that team is averaging even 4 points a game. And, you know, she's shown she can score, she can pass, she can rebound, but somebody else has to step up for East, and I'm sure that Coach Tammy George is trying to figure out any way possible to get her some help. But she's going to have it. She's a great player, but there just aren't any pieces around her.
Yeah, I tell you what, tomorrow night, 6:30 will be airtime. We'll be at East Henderson for East and North. Ron Wagner, who you hear right now, will be on with me as well. Looking forward to getting back at it. We haven't done a game in, about 2.5 weeks, I guess, since the holiday break, so it'll be good to get back after it. And then we got a couple of, I guess, three straight Tuesdays we'll have games. We'll see Hendersonville hosting Hendersonville hosting Mitchell in there as well. So I think we've got about six or seven games here in the first half of the year, and then we'll, of course, playoffs roll around. We'll do that. I'm not sure. Conference tournaments, I think, I'm not sure. I think the Bearcat tournament's at Owen. I'm not sure where the Mountain 8 tournament is. So we'll have to kind of play that by ear if some of our teams do well in a tournament. And if it's local, we may do one of those, too.
Yeah, a lot of those conference tournaments have kind of gotten away from the single neutral site for the whole thing. Yeah. You know, they do home and home until, you know, like maybe the semis. So it's right. Become a little bit less of an event, a little bit harder to cover. But yeah, we're not sure where they're going to be. Maybe one will be around here though.
We'll see. We'll ask around. All right, brother. Always good talking to you, and we'll see you tomorrow night.
All right, Mike. Thank you.
And that will wrap things up here tonight. Thanks so much to my three guests, JJ Jansen, long snapper from the Carolina Panthers. Congratulations to the Panthers for winning the NFC South, and they will host the Rams in the first round of the playoffs coming up this weekend. Also, a special thanks to Brett Friedlander. He joined me to talk a little bit of college football playoffs. Once again, Thursday night, the Fiesta Bowl. It'll be Ole Miss taking on Miami. And then the Chick-fil-A Bowl will be on Friday as Oregon will take on top-seeded Indiana. And don't forget, tomorrow night, high school basketball tip-off right here. We just heard Ron Wagner on with me previewing the matchup between East Henderson and North Henderson. We will be at East High, broadcast 6:30 for Mountain Credit Union High School basketball. So once again, folks, thanks for joining me. Once again, Happy New Year. And we'll be on with you tomorrow night for some high school hoops at East Henderson. Until then, folks, have a great evening.
You've been listening to the Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan. To listen to the podcast of tonight's show, go to WTZQ.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to the Sports Freak Hour. The Sports Freak Hour with Mike Morgan, Monday nights at 6 p.m. right here on WTZQ. Sponsored by Mountain Credit Union, serving Western North Carolina since 1963. Horizon Heat and Air, unmatched quality, service, and price. And Eggs Up Grill, serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week.